Hi, this is Jake, and you're listening to the Flight Training Podcast. So today we're talking about meditation on scripture. So meditation on scripture is different than like a Bible study. So when you're doing studying the scripture, you might look up like what was the history of this passage, or you might read footnotes about like what was going on, try to explain what was going on in the Roman Empire during this story with Jesus, or what was this Jewish festival about that he's at? And so that would be study. It would be looking up a lot of information about the passage to try to understand the context, try to understand that sort of stuff. That can be very, very beneficial. We're actually going to talk about study later on this year. But today we're talking about meditating on scripture. And when you're meditating on scripture, the way that we're going to be talking about it today, a lot of what I'm talking about comes from Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster. But it's this idea of experiencing scripture. So actually having an encounter with God through what you're reading, taking it deeper than just a real quick reading. A lot of times when we read the Bible, we sit down, we read it quickly, and then we go off and do our own thing. And maybe we pray before we read or something, or maybe if we're really doing well, we think about, oh, what should I do about this passage? And we come up with something, and then we're on our way. Most of the time, though, we're pretty distracted or we're not super focused and we don't gnaw on it. Like I was talking about the other day, this idea of a wolf gnaws on a bone to kind of suck the marrow out of it. A lot of times we don't gnaw on scripture, really turn it over and over and over in our mind and think, what is this really about? So that's what we're going to be talking about today, is how do you go deeper with the scripture passage? How do you get yourself to a spot where you're experiencing something with God as you got your Bible open? So the first way we're going to talk about doing, we're going to talk about a couple of different ways to meditate on scripture today. But the first way is very simply put yourself in the story. Okay, find a character in the story you're reading and put yourself there. Try to think about think about the smell of the ocean if it's an ocean scene. Think about your stomach rumbling if it's a scene where people are hungry. If it's a scene in the desert, think about how your skin feels when it's that hot, and how are you still sweaty or are you dehydrated and not even sweating anymore and you got a pounding headache because you're thirsty. Think deeply. What would it actually be like to be there? What would it sound like? What would it feel like? What would it taste like? And so that sounds kind of intense. How do we do that? Well, I'm going to read you a passage in John chapter 7, just the first 13 verses or so. It's not the whole story, but I don't want to take up too much time today. So we're going to kind of put ourselves in this story about Jesus. Okay, so John chapter 7, starting in verse 1, it says, after this, we're going to read the whole passage, then we'll put ourselves into it. After this, Jesus went around in Galilee. He did not want to go about in Judea because the Jewish leaders there were looking for a way to kill him. But when the Jewish festival of the tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, leave Galilee and go to Judea so that your disciples there may see the works you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. For even his own brothers did not believe in him. Therefore, Jesus told them, my time is not yet here. For you, any time will do. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that its works are evil. You go to the festival. I am not going up to this festival because my time has not yet fully come. After he had said this, he stayed in Galilee. However, after his brothers had left for the festival, he also went, not publicly, but in secret. Now, at the festival, the Jewish leaders were watching for Jesus and asking, where is he? Among the crowds, there was widespread whispering about him. Some said, he is a good man. Others replied, no, he deceives the people. But no one would say anything publicly about him for fear of the leaders. So we're going to cut the story off there. The story goes on. John chapter 7 is a great chapter. But here today, what we're talking about is putting ourselves in the story. So right off the bat, you think about, okay, what if I'm one of Jesus' followers? They don't really get mentioned here, but if you're reading the context, Jesus has some followers at this point. So if I'm one of Jesus' followers, we're going around Galilee. Why are we going around Galilee? We're staying outside of Judea, the more powerful kind of, and we're staying in the countryside away from the political power of that day because the Jewish leaders are trying to kill him. So there's this idea of kind of as Jesus is going around, there's this cloud overhanging them of like, there's people after us and we've got to stay on the low, we've got to stay on the down low to avoid them. And so put yourself in that mindset of what is it like day after day to be picking the place that you're going because you're trying to avoid the authorities. And so some of you have a lot of experience avoiding the authorities. Some of you probably don't. But to see that, like, that's the sort of mindset that Jesus is in right now. He's trying to keep a low profile so nobody kills him, basically. But this big festival is coming up. It's going to be in Jerusalem. All the Jews normally go there. And so this conversation, put yourself in that conversation. What was it like to be sitting around while Jesus and his biological brothers are talking? And so I picture, he's got all these younger brothers, and you see younger brothers around. They're all adults at this point, probably. Maybe some of them are just starting to get facial hair and stuff. They're teenagers, because Jesus is probably only 30 and he's the oldest. So some of them might only be 14 maybe or something, but most of them are probably adults. And some of them are different heights. I bet some of them are taller than Jesus. Some of them are shorter. There might be one that's kind of dumb that everyone makes fun of or something, So there's this banter among the brothers. People are pushing each other, like showing off to each other. But there's obviously, almost, I picture it more as an argument. It gives us in verse 3 and 4, it's like one statement, but it says Jesus' brother said to him, I'm sure it wasn't the 12 of them stood up, or the 5 or however many brothers there were. I'm sure it's not all of them stood and said all in unison these 3 sentences. I bet it was like, this is the summary of the conversation. And so it sounds like there's kind of an argument amongst them about like what Jesus should do. And I can picture Jesus is there and he's got these other guys, these younger brothers, which in that day and age, the oldest brother should be the authority, but he's got his younger brothers debating what is the best thing for him to do. And it says he should leave this area. He should go and become famous. They almost talk about him like he's a magician. Like they assume, because he's doing miracles, that he wants to become big and popular. He wants to become a public figure, and that he's being foolish by acting in secret. You need to go show you off, is basically what they're saying, which is like the opposite of what Jesus wants to do. Jesus is not about showing off. Verse 5 is really sad. I think the person who, wrote verse 5, the follower of Jesus, they understood a little bit. Maybe they looked at Jesus' eyes while this conversation is going on. And if you've ever been in a room where a bunch of family is debating about one person and what they should do, sometimes you look at that one person and you just see on their face, there's so much emotion on their face, but the family isn't paying attention. The family might be yelling at each other. They've got this big plan, but the person they're talking about is obviously upset. And it says in verse 5, for even his own brothers did not believe in him. And then Jesus stands, I picture him like he's sitting down and he's maybe got kind of wet eyes, like he looks sad. And he's not sad because he can't handle his brothers. He's sad because the way they talk show that they're clueless about him. The way they talk show that they don't believe in him. They don't understand him, and they pridefully think they know best, and so they're totally missing out on the point. And that's got to be sad when you're Jesus and your own biological brothers don't believe. But there's this argument going on. He looks sad. His disciple notices that. And I'm reading into it a little bit, but when you're doing this meditation, it's okay to say, I want to stay true to the text, but I'm trying to understand what would it be like to be there. And so then I picture Jesus stands up and he tells them off basically about like, hey, you guys can go do whatever you want because I have a real message and my message makes people mad at me. My message isn't accepted because there's a bunch of evil people out there and I'm telling them to their face that they're evil. You guys, nobody hates you because you're not doing anything against the evil system. So you guys go, have fun, because what you're doing, you're part of the problem, basically what he says. And I pictured this real awkwardness of like, they were all talking and they were just talking in maybe a debate sort of way, not like an angry way, but like, I know best. No, I know best. No, I know best. And they all are talking very authoritatively about what Jesus should do. And when Jesus stands up and says it like that, conversation's kind of over. The brothers take off and go. They're like, fine, Jesus, have it your way, man. And then Jesus goes, but he goes in secret. So I picture like Jesus with something over his, not like a hood on his face, but like something kind of covering up his hair and some clothing, kind of like we traditionally see Jesus with the little wraps on his head and stuff. And And when he's traveling into town, it's not like, hey, all my disciples follow behind me. It's kind of this idea of like, let's keep a low profile, spread out. We're trying not to get noticed. And so there's all this talk going on. And I can picture like Jesus is in the crowd while the crowd is talking about him even, you know. And so how strange is that? Like I can even picture a smile on Jesus' face like as people talk about like, where is he? And I think he's good. I think he's bad. And they don't know that like Jesus is standing right there next to them, you know? So it's just an interesting scene. And there's all this hot button topic around Jesus and the excitement. If you're one of his disciples of like, whoa, man, everyone is talking about Jesus. This is the big thing. But what is Jesus going to do? And so there's all this anticipation. Now, we could have spent even longer talking about it. I kind of sped up at the end there. But do you see how like, I spent several minutes talking about those 13 verses. I read it much, much faster when I just read through it. And most of the time when we read the Bible, we just read through it. But imagine if you meditated on some scripture this week. If you said, hey, I'm going to put myself in that story. I'm going to think about and I didn't get into taste or texture or feel, but at least I put myself in it. And I started to imagine scenes that I'd seen before in real life about family arguments and stuff. And I started to remember details from those events, and I said, which of those details fit? And at the end of the time, you know, I think about it, I think, wow, like that really helps me connect with verse 5 about for even his own brothers did not believe in him. There's this real sad moment in this little passage about like, wow, Jesus suffered that sort of rejection from his own biological brothers and had to have this horrible interaction with them, you know? It also puts me in this like super excited to read the rest of the passage about like, what is Jesus going to do? There's all this buildup now. Whereas if you're just reading it, you're like, oh yeah, okay, so moving on. But if you're reading it, you're thinking about all the tension in the city when Jesus is there secretly, then you're like, wow, what is going to happen? And it's going to make the end of the chapter, if you want to read it, very interesting, okay? So experiencing the Bible, when you meditate on it and put yourself in the story, it helps you draw deeper things out of it. It helps you connect with Jesus in a relational way. Like now that I've told that story that way to myself, it's easier to be friends with Jesus, if that makes sense. Like it's a small step, but it's like, wow, I understand a little bit about what he went through. I understand it a little better than I did before. So that's worth 15 minutes of your time, you know, if you get a better picture of Jesus. So that's the idea of putting yourself in the story. Very easy to do in the Gospels. That's where I would recommend doing it the most. You can do it in the book of Acts. You can even do it in other parts of the New Testament or obviously in the Old Testament too, but the Gospels are the most fruitful place to do it in. So if you're getting started in this area of meditation, I would say open up Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John and put yourself in a story as one of the people that in the story. And maybe if it's a story with a lot of different characters in it, put yourself in the story as, you know, this woman who needed a miracle or this disciple who was judgmental, or you put yourself in multiple people and look at it from different angles and think like, what is the point of the story if I put myself in the tax collector spot, if I put myself in the Pharisee spot, not so comfortable to be the bad guy in the story, but you can learn a lot if you put yourself in their shoes. So I told you I was going to tell you two different types. So here's the second type. It's a little simpler to explain. I actually think it's harder to do, but it does take less explaining. So this is, you meditate by experiencing a truth. And for this, I would recommend if you're starting out, start with a single verse. And what you're doing here is you're taking a truth that a verse or a passage of the Bible says, and you want to experience that truth. You want to think deeply about it, but not in like a studying way, more in like I want to open my heart up to know that's real and experience it. So for instance, Matthew chapter 7 verse 11 says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So as you're reading that, you start to meditate on it. Well, you read it over and over and over and over, and different things start to jump out to you. One is just this very frankness of Jesus, like, man, I'm evil. Jesus just calls it right out. Like, I'm not good when you compare me to God. But even though I'm a pretty bad guy, I still care enough about my kids did I try to do good for them? Wow. And then it's like, well, okay, God is my Father. That's an awesome promise from this passage. And he wants to give good gifts to people who ask him. Wow. Okay, so there's a lot to think on there. So you think about it for a little while, but then you want to step into experiencing it. What does that mean? It means spend some time opening your heart up to the fact that God is your good Father, and that he loves you better than any earthly father, and that he's eager to give you good gifts, and he's waiting for you to ask. So when you start to experience that truth, one of the things it's going to lead you to is asking God for good gifts, okay? If you're reading a story about Jesus promising you peace, you know, or reading a passage about that, then you would try to open up to what is it like to have that peace? And Jesus, help me experience it right now. And then you start to try to say like, okay, I'm going to open up to it. Jesus, what does this peace feel like? And you try to experience the thing that Jesus or whatever verse is coming from that the verse is talking about. So like I said, this one's a little trickier, but I would challenge you to try it out. It's this idea of like, I'm going to take one verse, I'm going to spend 15 minutes, I'm going to spend 30 minutes, maybe I'm going to spend 15 minutes every day for a week or even a month, and I'm going to try to gnaw on that verse and just, I want to experience what this is talking about. Because there's all these phrases that come out in the Bible, you're like, wow, that is powerful. But most of the time we just think like, whoa, that's cool. And maybe we put a post on Facebook and then we forget about it. What if you actually sunk that into your heart where it wasn't just something you could read, it was something you knew from experience? One of the ways you get to that spot is you start opening up to it and you start thinking about that verse a lot and you start trying to live in that verse's truth. You start trying to live out what that verse says and you start trying to live as if that were true. You know, so then when this says, God's your Heavenly Father, that should change the way you view yourself of like, I'm a child of God. You start trying to meditate on that of like, wow, I am a child of God. God wants to bless me. God has good things for me. If you start meditating on that, it starts to change your inner attitude and it can change your relationship with God, which can change your whole life. You know, anytime you have a better relationship with God, you're going to have you're going to be a better person. Basically is how that works. So, here's one direct quote from Richard Foster I want to tell us before I wrap up and give you your challenge. He says, always remember that we enter the story not as passive observers, but as active participants. Also remember that Christ is truly with us to teach us, to heal us, to forgive us. So whether you're putting yourself in a story or trying to experience the truth of a verse, don't do it passively. Today, when I read our story, I kind of fell into that a little bit. It was more like I was watching than I was one of the brothers. It actually may have been more powerful if I put myself in the spot of being one of the brothers who misunderstood, if I put myself in the spot of one of the crowd who was against Jesus. Okay, so be active as much as you can when you're imagining the story. Do things in your imagination. And even when you're meditating on a verse, participate in it. Try to do something as you experience the verse. And I love his last thought about like, ask Jesus for help. Ask him to teach you. Ask him to heal you. Ask him to forgive you. You know, if you're reading a story about somebody that's asking for healing, read that story, put yourself in their shoes, but then ask Jesus when you get to that spot, about like, Jesus, heal me. I may not be paralyzed, but I need your healing touch. And I want it just as bad as that person wanted it. So here's my direct challenge for you. This is the thing I'll be asking you about the next time we meet. And you get to, it's got an option kind of here, but I want you to spend at least 15 minutes. So that's not optional. Spend at least 15 minutes meditating on scripture, but here's your option. You can use one of two passages. So you might want to write these down. You can use either John 6 verses 1 through 15, which is a story about feeding the 5,000 miracle that Jesus does. So that's John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. If you do that, you'll do the putting yourself in the story meditation. Okay, so you'll imagine you're one of the disciples or imagine you're one of the people listening to Jesus. Or you can do John 14, 27. It's a great promise from Jesus about peace. And if you do that, you'll be meditating on what Jesus promises there and trying to say, like, I want to experience what Jesus is offering. So for at least 15 minutes. Now, if you want to do it every single day this week, that's awesome. If you want to do it for an hour, that's awesome. But the minimum is at least 15 minutes meditating either just on John 6, 1 through 15, or just on John 14, 27. If you pick the long passage, put yourself in the story. If you pick the short passage, try to experience that truth. And then we'll come back together and talk it over. If you've got questions, you're always welcome to reach out to me. Have a great day, guys.